You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Last week, WikiLeaks posted a large cache of documents alleging that they were from the CIA hacking unit and revealing, among other things, that the agency has hacked into smart TVs and other devices. This revelation has demonstrated what many security researchers have already known. As the number of internet-connected devices grows, there's more opportunity for hackers to take control of your home network and potentially engage in surveillance. Joining us now to discuss this latest WikiLeaks posting, as well as the vulnerability of the Internet of Things, are Lily Hay Newman, a security reporter at Wired, and Lorenzo Franceschi Piccarai, a staff writer at Vice Motherboard. Welcome to our show.
Hi.
Lorenzo, are Samsung's the only smart TV brand that the CIA has been able to hack?
Well, I guess we should say allegedly, but Samsung was one of the brands in the documents, and it wasn't too surprising because it's long been known that smart TVs can be hacked. And in fact,
are they the only ones who make smart TVs?
Every brand makes smart TVs these days: LG, Sony, you name it. So it's
possible. They could have more. You know, the CIA could be aware of more vulnerabilities in smart TVs. This was just what was in the documents, allegedly, like Lorenzo said.
Because they found the way to do it with the Samsungs. We don't know, you're saying, whether
they
found the way to do it.
It was well known that Samsung smart TVs had vulnerabilities, so the CIA, you know, if the documents are valid, probably bought that vulnerability on the black market.
When did Samsung first learn about the hack, and how have they reacted to the leak?
Well, initially, I think they didn't say anything, but then they sent out a boilerplate statement saying, we care about security, we're looking into this, and we care about security and privacy, we're looking into this, and we'll try to, you know, to fix these vulnerabilities.
And normally when there is a bug in software, the developers will introduce a new version to fix the bug. Is that something that you can do easily with something as complex as a smart TV?
Samsung smart TVs do have a relatively easy way of downloading, you know, firmware updates or software updates. But a big problem with IoT devices in general is that it can be very difficult for an average user to know how to update them or to have a portal to do so that's clear and straightforward.
So an average user, I happen to have a Samsung smart TV. If I wanted to do something to protect myself, not that I'm assuming the CIA is interested in what I'm doing while I'm watching TV, but still, if I wanted to do something, are there things I can do? Other than, I can't even keep it off, can I?
You could. I mean, you if you don't want to use the smart features, you could disconnect the smart TV from Wi-Fi altogether, you know, turn that off. You could, for Samsung smart TVs in particular, you can. They sometimes auto-update, or you can go into the settings and initiate updates.
Well, one of the hacks was called fake-off mode, so they can make it look like the TV is off when it isn't?
Yeah, essentially, which, by the way, the fake-off was a technique showed that a Korean researcher, security researcher, showed like in 2013, I think. So it seems like the CIA took inspiration from a real-life research. And essentially, they could make it so that you turn off the TV, but it's actually still on.
Other than unplugging it, what can I do? Unplugging it causes all sorts of trouble. You got to wait a long time for the thing to work itself back up.
Yeah, as Lily said, you know, disconnect it from the internet if you don't need the internet features.
But that's also a pain. Wasn't the CIA also working with the British intelligence agency MI5 on these hacks?
Yeah, at least in the Samsung one, the document said they developed this malware and this hacking technique with the MI5.
Did they get them through people inside the agency, or did they buy the hacks from a third party?
I think that's unclear still.
We think of the agencies as sort of the NSA is the one that develops more sophisticated attacks, and the CIA is more likely to buy them, as I was alluding to before. But Lorenzo's right that we don't know, I don't think.
Yeah, and there was also...
Well, we may find out more because WikiLeaks is planning to release more documents.
Yeah, allegedly. They said that this is just the beginning, and Yeah, we don't know when, though. It could be today or tomorrow, I guess.
Happening right now.
Who would they buy these hacks from? Who are the third-party vendors?
Some are legitimate vulnerability or, you know, companies that deal in vulnerabilities. And, you know, people are aware that they sell to governments or agencies. Some are criminals on the black market, or taking inspiration from research is another possibility.
Lily, you said IoT. That means Internet of Things. That's a shorthand
yes.
for that. If a hacker takes control of your smart TV, can your other devices of other data become vulnerable as well? Would it just be as easy to hack your phone or your computer?
Potentially, a vulnerability on an individual IoT device could be used as a jumping-off point to own a network, you know, such as your home Wi-Fi network. But just depends how far down the rabbit hole you want to think about that.
This seems like more bad news not only for customers but for Samsung. First, it was the exploding smartphone problem they had. Then the leader of the South Korea group was arrested for bribery, and now their TVs can be hacked into. Is there anything specific about Samsung as a brand that consumers should be wary of?
I don't think so. I think in this case, it's mostly that Samsung is a very popular brand. So if you're the CIA or any kind of spy agency, you want to be able to target as many people as potentially. You know, if you need like access to someone, you want to know how to get the most popular device that they might have in their home. So a Samsung TV is very popular. So they
well, so are Sony's.
Sense. Yeah, so are Sony's. But you know, they might have developed techniques to hack into Sony TVs as well. I think for consumers, though, this is, you know, it's an interesting story, obviously, but we're probably not going, you know, you're probably not going to be targeted by the CIA.
Now you tell me.
Well, maybe you know things we don't.
This was a very large data dump, thousands of files, and I'm sure there was a sense in newsrooms that they wanted to get stories published quickly. How many of these WikiLeaks files have you each been able to read?
I don't know how to quantify. There were, what was it? It was 8,000 some pages.
Yeah, almost 9,000.
Is there a way to find out, look into the things that are of your particular interest, Lily?
There was some searchability, but I definitely found that I had to read down whole sections in order to see, you know, find things that I would potentially be interested in reading about, because it's a lot of fragments. It's sometimes at first it's kind of hard to know what something is talking about until you really get into it. Was that your experience?
Yeah, it was a little confusing, especially at the beginning, because they weren't really indexed or, you know, ordered in a very, in a way that made too much sense. And it's probably not even WikiLeaks' fault. It's just how they got the documents.
WikiLeaks does have good search. Their search function is pretty good, but you have to know what word to search for, which isn't always clear.
My guests are Lily Hay Newman, security reporter at Wired, and Lorenzo Franceschi Bicchieri, who is a staff writer at Vice Motherboard. How is the CIA reacting to these leaks? Are they denying, or are they just saying oops, or are they expressing outrage?
I think silence is mostly what they have, how they've reacted, which is maybe how you would expect them to react.
Well, because there is, you know, the sort of the possibility that the data is not legitimate, I would think that the best approach for them would be to just not say anything and allow that possibility to exist.
Well, how could the data not be legitimate? Would WikiLeaks just have made it up?
Oh, there's a ton of ways that data could, you know, not be legitimate. Even if it were legitimate and it was altered in some way, that would be kind of hard to tell. But, I mean, I'm not saying it's not. It's just, you know, really difficult to know just from seeing it.
Didn't Julian Assange offer to share these vulnerabilities with Silicon Valley companies so that they would know how to protect their products in the future? Do we know if he has?
We don't know. He did offer that, though. I think that was last week, so a couple of days after the initial, you know, the initial news and the dump. I think WikiLeaks posted a tweet asking basically the internet what they should do with these vulnerabilities and exploits. Should we share them with the Silicon Valley? Should we just dump them? And after that, we don't know if like the poll actually made a difference, but after that they did say, Julian Assange did say, we're going to share it with the companies so that they can get them fixed.
And do we know what companies he was referring to?
I think he was just referring to basically all of them, all of the companies that have been mentioned in the dump. So Samsung, Google, Apple, Microsoft.
WikiLeaks also redacted some of the technical specifications of some of the vulnerabilities, perhaps so other people couldn't exploit them, or perhaps for other reasons that WikiLeaks has. So they were proposing, giving companies access to that more specific technical detail so that they could do the patching. But when I reached out to companies last week, they hadn't heard so far, but I don't know if that has changed in the last few days.
Do the leaks reveal if any of these tech companies knew that the systems were hacked, or if they colluded with the government to provide backdoor access?
No, that definitely wasn't part of the documents, the backdoor part, as far as at least, the documents that we've seen so far. What we saw was mostly the CIA trying to find their own, their own exploits, their own hacking tools and ways in. There wasn't any allegation of collusion.
Aside from smart TVs, what other devices have been the targets of the CIA, according to the leaks? Personal computers, phones, iPhones?
Yeah. One thing that was in the headlines a lot was the CIA getting into encrypted and secure messaging apps. But an important thing there was that the way they were doing that was by owning what we call owning, having full control over someone's smartphone. So being able to imitate the user and see everything the user would see. And so that's an important distinction, because there wasn't anything in the leaks indicating that they had cracked or broken encryption systems. That would be really bad, but also impressive. That would be a whole other level. But this was just showing that they had the ability to really fully own someone's phone and see the end message that you would see on your own screen.
And why are these messaging apps more vulnerable in browsers versus the smartphone app?
It's the main reason is that phones are usually more secure than computers, especially if we talk about iPhones. iPhones are generally considered very secure. So if you're using an app...
All the brands?
Sorry?
All the brands are generally more secure?
Well, he means Apple iPhones.
Apple iPhones, yeah. So Apple phones are usually more secure than their Android counterparts. So if you're using... But the CIA targets all of them, obviously, because in case they need to get into one or the other.
Well, in the past, they would ask Apple or the other company, one of the other companies, to give them access, and they were turned down. So have they found ways around that?
Yeah, this is one option, having a list of vulnerabilities that allow you to get into various devices.
For example, the San Bernardino couple, they wanted to get into their iPhones. I don't know if they ever were able to.
They were able to, but by using an exploit from a third party, Apple famously declined to participate.
Well, let's take a little break, and we'll come back with more. My guests are Lily Hay Newman, security reporter at Wired, Lorenzo Franceschi Picarai, a staff writer at Vice Motherboard. Stay with us for more. We are back with Lorenzo Franceschi Picarai, staff writer at Vice Motherboard, and Lily Hay Newman, a security reporter at Wired. We're talking about what we have learned from the large cache of documents that WikiLeaks posted, alleging that they were from CIA hacking unit, and revealing, among other things, that the agency has been hacking into smart TVs and perhaps other devices as well. Do we know how far back these programs go? When did the CIA start attempting to hack smart TVs?
Documents go back, I think, to 2012 or of 2013?
The documents in general?
Yeah, the span of the documents. But in terms of, so that's the documents. In terms of smart TVs, people start breaking into things the minute they come on the market. You know, they start trying to figure it out. And in terms of how long the CIA has had these types of programs, I would say the same, as you know, as long as there have been devices that they wanted to access.
Now, what would they get from hacking into a smart TV other than what shows I've been watching? Or can they watch me? And if they're watching me, don't they have to assume that I'm doing important things that they'd want to know about in front of a TV?
I mean, potentially, yeah, they could watch you, but I think the most interesting thing could be listen in. You know, you could imagine that a smart TV could be in an office or not necessarily in a home. So if you're like, if you're interested in something that's being discussed in like in a meeting, for example, that could be a good way to listen in.
What are zero-day exploits and why are they so coveted?
Zero-day exploits are exploits that have never been disclosed before, specifically to the maker of, you know, the software that the exploit is in. So it's day zero of trying to fix it.
And that's happened in a number of the instances we're talking about here?
In the case of the Samsung vulnerabilities, were they the same ones that were known before? Were they?
Yeah, we think so. I mean, the challenge here is that WikiLeaks hasn't actually released the code or you know, the details about the 0 days or exploits. So it's really hard to know whether these were, you know, known at the or unknown at that point.
Why do you think that Kellyanne Conway suggested that microwaves could be bugs, although it's being claimed now that she was just making a joke? Could they be bugged? My microwave is not attached to the internet, but
yeah.
I guess some microwaves are.
I wrote about this earlier this week. Microwaves in particular, anything that is internet-enabled, anything that has a camera or a microphone, that could be hacked regardless of what it is. There aren't actually a lot of Wi-Fi-enabled microwaves on the market right now, just based on my sort of, you know, quick search of major manufacturers. But definitely possible. Home devices, smart kitchen devices are up and running.
Refrigerators turning on the lights.
Yeah,
the
it
internet.
Is possible. But in terms of microwaves in particular, which actually was something Colbert had also said a few days before, strangely, as a sort of joking example, that if it's not Wi-Fi enabled, it's not really possible. The microwave technology used to heat the food is not
but some
a listening
people sometimes
device.
Turn on the heat before they go home. They can do that
remotely.
Through their phones, yeah. They can turn on security devices. All of those things are vulnerable? You're nodding your head.
Potentially.
This is radio.
Potentially.
Yeah, I mean, potentially everything is, you know, your doorknob is vulnerable to a lock picker. So, you know, yes, they are vulnerable, but it depends.
Didn't you find that medical devices are very vulnerable to hacking?
Yes, Wi-Fi connected medical devices are, you know, as vulnerable as any other internet-enabled device. But one of the big concerns is sort of a lack of focus on that. You know, anything that helps the healthcare industry perform better, you know, give better care to their patients, you want to run with that right away. So there's been real massive deployment very quickly of Internet of Things devices in healthcare settings, and so that is a potential concern.
What can hackers do once they gain control of something? Are we talking about pacemakers and insulin pumps and things like that?
Yeah, so there's sort of two areas. That area that you're describing of implanted devices or devices on our skin, you know, the concern there is obviously sort of the life and death nature of the treatment that you know, devices providing to the person. So the hacks, you know, or research around hacks into those devices is really important. But then the other area is Internet of Things devices in healthcare environments could be used as a jumping off point, like we were discussing before, where you could, you know, jump off of a smart TV to compromise your home network. You could, you know, compromise an MRI machine in a hospital and then jump off of that to access more and more of the hospital's network. So those are kind of the two areas of concern.
Could you kill somebody through hacking into their pacemaker or their insulin pump?
Yeah, you could.
Uh-huh. That'd probably be more effective than drones. Aren't many of these devices using very old software like Windows XP?
Yeah, medical devices and hospitals in general are sort of infamous for having very old systems, which makes them, you know, by default, if you're using old systems, you are more vulnerable because you haven't gotten the most recent updates and the most recent protections.
Do we know how what percentage of devices being used in hospitals today are connected to the internet?
I'm not sure.
I don't know if we know that, but there is a sort of Google for Internet of Things devices and internet-connected devices called Shodan, and you can see thousands, tens of thousands of medical devices right now. You could log on and see, you know, visible connected devices in hospitals and healthcare facilities.
How would you update the software on an implant like a pacemaker? You'd have to do a whole another operation?
No. So they have part of what makes them hackable is that they have, you know, connectivity, remote connectivity or wireless connectivity, I should say. So it could be Bluetooth. It could be, you know, full-on Wi-Fi connection. And that's a good thing because it means you don't have to do a procedure every time you want to change something about the device. But the downside is that it creates an exposure for hacking.
So what's the upside? It seems these devices can wreak havoc on a hospital. Why would anyone want to even use them? Some of I'm not pacemakers, but some of the other things that are connected to the internet in a hospital, MRI machine.
Well, for example, pacemakers or insulin pumps, it's useful to have them connected to the internet because then your doctor can monitor them or change some settings, increase the dosage or something like that. So, you know, as everything with the Internet of Things, there is obviously an upside to connecting it to the internet. What these producers need to do is like making sure that they're not just like focusing on the upside and they're ready for the worst case scenario.
Do we know if any hospitals' medical devices have been hacked or electronic records have been taken hostage?
Definitely. You know, these types of attacks have been used, these jumping off points like we were talking about, have been used to launch ransomware attacks where either the files are, you know, encrypted and locked down and you have to pay to get the decryption key, or systems are sort of taken offline and those systems are held for ransom and it's like you can't get into, you know, any of the x-rays from yesterday the x-ray machine just doesn't work until you pay the ransom, those types of systems.
I'm speaking with Lily Hay Newman, who's a security writer for Wired, and Lorenzo Franceschi Bicarai, a staff writer at Vice Motherboard. This is WMIC, WMIC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. Lily, you write about the security exploit called Medjack. What's that?
Medjack is a type of malware that's been observed on a lot of these IoT devices, Internet of Things devices in healthcare settings. And it's an example of the type of attack we're talking about where it's sort of an infiltration point, and then you can go from there to, you know, do whatever attack, you know, an attacker would be planning. And the researchers who have been following it say that when they go into healthcare facilities to do consulting, you know, it's sort of a sad truth that they see it every time they go in to do security consulting. It's just sort of spread everywhere.
To what end?
Well, the things that, you know, we were describing, medical records, patient records can also be used to do identity theft. You know, social security numbers, active prescription numbers, you can buy drugs, prescription drugs online and then resell them, things like that.
When the Affordable Care Act was rolled out, one of its goals was to promote electronic medical records. But did these hacks suggest that we should move more cautiously when we're trying to put medical records online?
I think that just with everything, we should take into account the risks of putting stuff online and using electronic records or anything like that. It's, you know, we shouldn't stay in the past. We should put stuff online and do things that could be useful, but do it in the right way.
A government agency would even oversee all of this? The FDA?
The FDA is a player. They do oversight on, cybersecurity readiness of medical devices, so particularly like implanted devices, pacemakers, those types of things. And they have been ramping up their sort of awareness and standards of what, these devices need to include. But, there's already a situation at hand that has played out over the last few years. So it's a lot to catch up to and kind of get on top of.
A listener has written into our show page, Colin from Monmouth County, New Jersey, and he asks, I have a pair of Samsung R1 Wi-Fi connected speakers, and I wonder how well are the speakers protected with antivirus software?
I'm not sure.
If I put on Bach, am I going to get heavy metal instead? No, that's not.
That could be good, but I'm not sure about those speakers. But with a lot of IoT devices, antivirus wouldn't even be useful. Hmm. As a consumer, it's a little frustrating, but there's really little you can do.
And why not?
Well, antivirus is a good way to catch infections that have already happened. In the case of the Internet of Things, you might want to, prevent them instead of catching them afterwards.
A big surprise, another hackable device that you've reported on, Lorenzo, is a stuffed animal, specifically from the maker Spiral Toys. What did you learn from those toys?
Yes.
Teddy bears being hacked?
Yeah, well, I mean, we don't have any evidence of anyone using or abusing a teddy bear to spy on people. But in this case, the hack was twofold. The company had left consumer information online exposed, and hackers stole it. And at the same time, the teddy bear itself could be used as a listening device, potentially.
So somebody with a young child could be surveilled without any knowledge. Didn't Senator Bill Nelson, a Democrat from Florida, get involved once news came out about this toy maker's data breach?
Yeah, he sent out a letter to the company asking a bunch of questions, essentially saying, were you aware of this vulnerability and this breach? When did you become aware of it? And, why did it take so long for consumers to find out?
Are toys more vulnerable than other Bluetooth-connected devices?
I mean, they don't have to be, not necessarily, but I think it's a byproduct of the fact that a lot of these companies are small and they don't have a big staff.
Now, Bluetooth is all over the place. It's on my phone. You can find it in cars and everywhere else, pretty much. So are all those devices in general vulnerable to hacking?
With Bluetooth, there's often a proximity component to the hacks, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, they are, but I guess the advantage the upside there is that you need to be very close, as Lilia said, you need to be within range.
It's been reported that Russian spies hacked Yahoo. Do you imagine that many current and future hacks will be coming from Russia? Are we only talking about the CIA here,
or should we
be talking about hacks from Romania, Russia, from Armenia?
The Russian CIA, our CIA, everyone does it. Before it was China, now it's Russia. I think the sort of rules of cyber engagement and kind of the boundaries are being explored right now. We don't really know how far it'll go or what form it'll take.
So when the president complained that Trump Tower was being wiretapped, could he have been partly on target? Is it possible that if he has smart TV and some of the other Bluetooth and some of these other things, perhaps an internet-connected thermostat called Nest, which is owned by Google, that he might have been vulnerable to that kind of thing?
I mean, if you're the president of the
United States... Does Kellyanne Conway know about this?
I don't know if she does, but if you're the president of the United States or even just a candidate, you better assume that someone is trying to hack you because you're an interesting person to a lot of people.
Well, and one concern was that Trump, at least for a while, I don't know more, in the past few weeks, but he kept his personal Android phone with him when he went to the White House. And if he's concerned about being wiretapped, that is something I personally would not do.
Because you see, the Android is more vulnerable than
rather than having a specialized device that's locked down by the Secret Service or by another intelligence agency for the president's use, using a off-the-shelf consumer device is much more exposure.
Since the both of you think about this a lot, aside from computers and smartphones, do either of you have other internet-connected devices in your homes?
I don't, just in case. And
are you being a bit paranoid, Lorenzo?
Maybe. I'm just not a huge gadget fan.
Even though you write about them?
Yeah, but it's something that, I don't need an internet-connected teddy bear or even an internet-connected TV.
Yeah, I don't have a lot either. I do have... a streaming, set-top box, like a Roku, that type of thing. But all the sort of smart home, smart assistant, all that stuff, and as it is, we all have some because we all have modems and routers, in our, presumably. Maybe Lorenzo doesn't.
But, I live in a cave, actually.
if you have Wi-Fi at your house, you have Internet of Things devices. And, I have a smartphone. I have a laptop. So, but I just try to minimize it as much as I can because I don't see the point.
Is there any device that you might be most wary of?
Well, your cell phone is the device you need to be most wary of because...
I left it in my office, but so nobody can hear what we're talking about now.
But I brought mine in. It's here.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. Lily Hay Newman, security reporter for Wired. Lorenzo Franceschi Bicarai, a staff writer at Vice Motherboard. It's been an eye-opening conversation. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.